There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So the question would be about the afterlife. Does it all end? Is it just emptiness, nothing? What do you perceive at the other end? Or is there our entire life just an illusion? Are we all part of the Matrix, some universal intelligence, and we kind of go off and have our experience and then return to something totally different? So many possibilities. Paul Eno joins us. He and his son Ben are fellow travelers. They have their own paranormal radio show called Behind the Paranormal. So is everything I said here, Paul, completely crazy?
No, not at all. Anything is possible. As Mr. Spock said, there were always possibilities, right? One of the other interesting things that sort of pointed us in the direction of this multiverse idea was, we frequently will get questions on the show, as maybe you do, you know, okay, well, are my loved ones going to be okay, and am I going to be okay? And how do I remain in contact, or I just, you know, I can't bear the loss or whatever. And then finally, in 2011, my mother, Ben's grandmother, passed away, or a term I don't like, or translated, as we say. That's actually a very ancient theological term. Sort of wasn't here physically with us in this particular reality, and people would write in and say in so many words, okay, wise guy, well, how do you deal with this loss? Your theories are great, but, you know, when it hits you at home, how do you deal with it? So I said, well, our view is a bit of a canted look at the idea that you're still with these people. And I said, the idea that we have is that you're not, the experience we have is that you're not still, they're still not here in some form, whether it be ghostly or whatever thing popular folklore has, but it's that we are with them still in many, many parallel worlds where they never died. And I have a wonderful relationship with my mother. I always did have a good one, but it's very close because of awareness of worlds where we're still together. That's my view. Maybe I'm being maudlin or sappy, but I'm not that kind of person. And it's a very real, concrete experience to me and then for Ben, too, and the rest of us. And again, it's not that they're still here and you have to look for them and use psychics and mediums and to make contact. You're already in contact all over the place, all kinds of times and places, you know. And it's all a oneness that I think is the key to spirituality, in my opinion, discovering that. So that's our view, anyway.
You find this particular point of view in indigenous cultures all around the world.
Precisely. And, I'm sorry?
It's the West that tends to compartmentalize and you know, create this beginning and end scenario, whereas in indigenous cultures, I think the inclination is to always be aware that your ancestors are with you at all times.
Well, it's funny you should bring that up because that's a lot of my, you know, spurry ideas came from precisely that. 7 hours in Australia in the line of duty many, many, many years ago. And I happened to spend it on much of it on the porch of an old store outside Melbourne with a little, it couldn't have been more than 4 foot tall Australian Aboriginal elder by the name of Mindalui. And they usually don't talk to outsiders that readily, but we got talking, and he said, you know, you're starting to get it, because in the late 70s, this is in the mid-80s, but in the late 70s, I know it wasn't even 1979, but by that time, I'd begun to see a lot of strange things in the paranormal that simply could not be explained adequately, in my opinion, by the classic spiritualist or even theological interpretations of these things. And he said, you're on the right track. This is what shamans do. So, we, you know, we go into parallel worlds, and we get what is needed, and we bring it back and make it part of our world. Or we bring the worlds together, a physicist might say, collapse the wave function, and this kind of thing. And that really got me going. And because I just had a really strange experience earlier that year with a a case in which the person, the ghost, quote unquote, was not dead. It was living 120 miles away, and this made me wonder, what are we dealing with here? And sure enough, this kind of put me on the right track. So I think there is a lot of evidence for this multiverse idea, and the implications of that are stunning for spirituality, for understanding of the afterlife or afterlives as not being after anything but parallel in one great reality. And physics, of course, having pretty much shown that there is no past and future as such. It's all one great simultaneity, which, of course, in itself has a lot of implications for the ideas of reincarnation. Space travel, anything, talking about UFOs. I mean, it takes in everything, and it really changes everything. And that's why the motto of our show is Everything You Know Is Wrong.
Well, anytime you talk about parallel universes, there's no end to the speculation of the possibilities. And one being, of course, that UFOs are in another reality, not coming from Zeta Reticuli or whatever necessarily, but we're seeing into this other reality occasionally where maybe that's the common way of traveling from one place to another on Earth.
Well, I would wonder why people would report UFOs and say, well, it disappeared right in front of me, or it appeared right in front of me, or Bigfoot suddenly disappeared right in front of my eye. You know, how could that be? One of the explanations might be some form of coming and going across the brains, B-R-A-N-E-S, as they're called, or world boundaries, that I think will explain a lot of this stuff, and certainly travel.
You're preaching to the choir, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, that's... As we discussed on your show, that's the direction that I've been heading in ever since I really got started looking into this in a real intense way, looking into these subjects. When you have inexplicable events occur, you trust your own sanity. You just cannot reconcile the experience. Then it really gets you moving in directions that you normally wouldn't have gone in, because you have to think outside of the box to deal with outside of the box phenomenal events. So I absolutely, like I said, you're preaching to the choir. And one thing about the Aboriginal people, you bring up, your trip to Australia, there's been some pretty interesting work done by sociologists and anthropologists to try to get to the bottom of how they can all communally dream together, which is something that not too many people are really aware of, that's a very deeply rooted and ancient part of their communal process as Aboriginal people there, and that they do have the ability to collectively dream together, which has been demonstrated very well by scientists.
Well, the Australian natives use the term dreaming in a much, as you know, Chris, in a much deeper sense than we do. You know, the whole dream time they talk about, and there are things are dreamed into reality and come from, and it's, I found that very, very profound indeed.
Well, you mentioned some of the work that you did in the 70s. We had Bill Hall, rather, on the Bridgeport case, which you were involved with. And one of the things I wanted to make sure to ask you is, what did you think of that particular case? It's reading the book is just amazing, the amount of witnesses that were involved and some of these events that could not be explained. Some possibly could have been Marcia playing around a little bit. But you were there on in that case and on the scene there. I'd really love to get your feedback on what you thought about that particular case.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and I apologize for not calling into the show because I intended to, but I couldn't. That was 1974, and Marcia is called her. My job was from Ed Lorraine Warren. Ed Warren asked me to keep an eye on the child precisely to make sure that she wasn't doing any of these things. And one thing that strikes people about this case is the small size of that house. It was a tiny, like three and a half room house. And all this stuff was going on, and all these people saw this stuff, including police officers and firefighters and this kind of thing, including floating refrigerators, objects flying around, and the child being lifted and this sort of thing. One of the things that really struck me and changed some of my thinking was that on the Monday night of the case, we were, for the better part of 3 days, the Warrens, myself, and Father William Charbonneau, a priest of the Archdiocese of Hartford, were in the house. I was a seminary student at the time. I got involved. I happened to blunder into it. I was on my way down to have dinner with Ed and Lorraine. And Lorraine, a tremendous cook, came leaping out of the house and said, you know, are you in a high spiritual state right now? Because you'd come back to, because they knew I was coming. Ed had already been in the house. So we all went down there, and the book tells the story. But on Monday night, there was probably the most striking incident for me.
Well, let's find out what that incident is in just a moment. We have Paul Eno with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Remember to go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. Learn about the Paracast Plus, where you get an ad-free version of the show with higher audio quality, the After the Paracast podcast with politically incorrect color commentary. That's a tongue twister for a few bucks a month, plus.theparacast.com. Paul Eno is here, starting on another fascinating tale. Let's continue.
Okay, we're talking about what I refer to as the Bridgeport poltergeist outbreak of 1974.
This is the one we had with William Hall just a few weeks ago, and you were also involved in checking this out.
Yes. I was working with Ed and Lorraine Warren and Father Bill Charbonneau. Of the three-day period we were there, the thing that sticks out the most for me personally was an incident Monday evening when the Warrens had left to do an interview at their home, and I was in the house with the family, which consisted of two people in their 40s, the Gooden family, Laura and Gerard Gooden, and the little girl Marcia, who was an adopted child of Native American descent. There was a reporter from the Bridgeport Post, and there was a neighbor, and one other person. And while we were playing Monopoly, Marcia's favorite game, a huge amount of energy seemed to be gathering in the kitchen, and I say very small house. And it seemed to me that I got the impression that four entities were involved here. Now, I know officially a poltergeist is supposed to be, you know, produced by the child and all this stuff that parapsychologists, whom I swear most of them have never actually encountered a knockdown, drag-out poltergeist before, believe. So we were in the living room. These four things seemed to be forming in the kitchen. Mr. Gooden, Gerard, went into the kitchen and all of a sudden started singing in a beautiful bass voice, Latin, and it sounded like it was from the Mass, right? And I said, what the hey is this? And he later said he had been interested in the priesthood. He'd studied Latin and had been an altar boy and all this, but he was good how that occurred. But be that as it may, the four entities seemed to come down the little hallway into the living room. This is where I really learned, this is my first major poltergeist case, and I really learned the hard way that you do not get angry in the presence of these things. You do not get fearful. You try to remain as calm as possible because they feed on this. One of them stood in front of me, and when I say one of them, you could feel absolute certainty that this presence was there, and you could see sort of a gauzy structure, and this thing kind of moved. I put the little girl behind me, put Marcia behind me to protect her. I was reading a prayer at the time. The thing kind of, I just sort of instinctively kind of pushed against it. It pushed back, and I felt physical structure. And that really set me into confusion. I knew it was after the child, and I began to get angry. It got stronger and stronger. It got behind me, threw her across the room, and at this point, the energy in this, I think if you lit a match, the place would have gone up. You could smell sort of an ozone smell and everything else, and these, I said, everybody out of the house. So we all moved out onto the front sidewalk. It started to sleet. Fortunately, the police had cordoned off each end of the street, because, you know, because this had gotten out to the press. Ed Warren was big working with the press. And ironically, I've been a journalist for 35 years. The last thing I would do is call the press in on any of these things. Fortunately, had we walked out, you know, several hours before, we would have been in the middle of the crowd, and that would have been unbelievably awkward. So they cordoned off the street, and I went next door, because these are the days long before cell phones or anything like this, and I asked the neighbor if I could use the phone. The kid said, Mommy, the priest wants to use the phone. They mixed me up with Father Charbonneau. I went into the house. Something knocked on the door three times. Nothing was there. At least didn't look. We couldn't see it. And I called the Warrens, and it took them an hour to get 10 miles from their house back into the city of Bridgeport because of the traffic. That really stands out. And I said, I thought these were spirits. Why am I feeling a physical body pushing back? And today, I think, of course, we're dealing with the trans-world entities, as it were, multiversal entities that can at least reach into other worlds. And I've seen them, I suppose you could almost compare with an octopus, sort of reaching into different parallel worlds at the same time. One case in Pennsylvania, another one in Maine. And I think that's kind of panned out. But this was my first experience with that, and that's what really stands out for me with that particular case personally. There were a lot of other public things that occurred. I remember one police officer that first day on Sunday, witnessing the refrigerator thing, and he backed out of the house, backed down the sidewalk to his cruiser, wouldn't come out. In 1998, I was doing a book signing for my book Faces at the Window in Warwick, Rhode Island, and a woman came up to me and said, you know, my father was a firefighter in Bridgeport, Connecticut in 1974. He was in that house, and we couldn't find him for 3 days. And she said he turned out he was in the apartment above their garage. Nobody knew it. And he was afraid to come out because of what he'd seen in that house. Now, these are huge, you know, strapping guys, obviously, you know, police officers and firefighters. And, you know, they don't mess around. And they were floored. And, of course, in Bill Hall's book, many of them are interviewed about what they saw in the house. So
he played an audio tape for us as well.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I was astounded. Many of those tapes I had never heard, and he gave me one. You can hear me in the background when Lorraine Warren was sitting at the table, and a second-degree burn spontaneously appeared on her hand right in front of me and in front of a police officer. You know, nobody had been smoking. There was nothing that could have caused such a burn, and Ed was very concerned. He said, you know, spontaneous human combustion could happen in this house, and you should leave. That's another issue.
That would be rather disconcerting.
You might say, yeah.
Well, you know, Paul, since we're on the subject of this, the Bridgeport case, it kind of begs the question of what kind of things need to line up? What sort of causal elements do you think need to line up for these types of occurrences or outbreaks to occur?
Well, there seem to be a lot of ducks that have to be lined up, so to speak, for this to occur, but they are rather predictable. I always look at the status of the family, whoever's in the household. And you do find poltergeists among people. I've had cases that are out in the middle of the woods, old abandoned villages that I think also were parallel worlds in past and future, whatever, intersecting. However, in poltergeist cases where you have the violent activities, the hostility and negativity that go on with these entities, you always have people involved. And it's strange. There seem to be negative factors that are generally present. A lot of stress. Very often you have someone who has been confined to the house for long periods and sort of as a ready food source, so to speak, for these things. And in the Bridgeport case, you had the child, Marcia, who had been very, very sort of smothered by her parents. They had lost a little boy earlier, their natural child, several years before. And they had adopted Marcia and were just very protective of her. She had been attacked and bullied, as we would say today in school, had been injured slightly in her back and had been, you know, something today that would probably put the other kid in jail. But she ended up being kept in the house for 6 weeks in a row. It wasn't allowed to go out. And this helps the energy build up. Now, of course, people would come and say, aha, it must have been the ghost of the young child who's jealous. I mean, I don't believe it. That's nonsense. So I don't know. Whatever. That's old-time spiritualism, you know?
Let's do our break here. Paul Eno is here. We're discussing that Bridgeport, Connecticut case that we had addressed in the interview with William Hall just a few weeks back. Some more insights with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs ensures he gets the best use of his mineral supplements by using Youngevity's Ultimate Enzymes.
If you start a nutritional supplement program and you find that you get loose stools more than you get any benefits from the supplements, there's a good chance that you're not absorbing minerals. Now, here's the thing about minerals and mineral absorption. You need to have a functioning fat system. You need to have functioning bile. You need to have a well-functioning liver and a well-functioning gallbladder in order to get the benefits from nutritional supplements with minerals. It's very common that as we get older, we don't absorb fats, we don't utilize fats, and then you won't be utilizing or absorbing minerals either. I would be getting on the Ultimate Enzymes from Youngevity. I'd be making sure I was taking them with all my meals.
To get optimal use of your nutritional supplements, order Ultimate Enzymes from Youngevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods and receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the Freeze Dry Guy. Plus, long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone, so call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars, too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the Freeze Dry Guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year case-lot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Now, I don't know about you, but if there was a poltergeist in this house that we live in, and I won't describe it, it's not obviously the most luxurious house in the world, far from it, I'd be going in the other direction real, real fast. That's me.
Yeah.
Paul Eno, would you do that if there was a poltergeist at your home? Would you and your wife just say, you know what, we don't need this?
Well, one of the benefits of being an investigator of this stuff is that one does not expect one's own house to be haunted, so to speak, you know. So we haven't had the pleasure, but in the Bridgeport house, yeah, they did. And the parents, of course, and one of the interesting things about this, and I often see this, is that highly religious people with negative spiritualities seem to be prone, not prone, but when you have people having trouble with this, very often you find people of that kind, and the Goodens were that kind of couple. A lot of religious objects around the house, pictures and paintings and crosses, things of this kind, crucifixes. But the old-time Roman Catholic spirituality, not always, but very often was very negative, you know, based on fear rather than positive energies like love, you know.
When I go into a house like that, if I see a velvet Jesus painting, then I start to break out in hives. I get real nervous.
Probably for good reason. Now, there's nothing wrong with faith. I mean, faith is supposed to be positive in this sort of thing, and it can be of great power. However, again, in this particular situation, it was not. Couple that with the child being kept in the house, the negative feelings there. Also, there was there are geotechnic factors, strangely enough, that affect this thing. We find, I used to bring a, till he actually translated himself. We used to bring a soil engineer with us, and he would be able to tell if there was soil of a clay or sand under the site, or high water table, this sort of thing, because that tends to, in my opinion, conduct. Unless the water is distilled.
It's like a huge natural battery alternating layers of clay and water, yeah.
Precisely. Now, of course, in those days, I didn't think to look for that, and we didn't really look outside the house. But Bill Hall has done that, and he found out that, the area, of course, underneath the that vicinity is not far from the Long Island Sound, and they do tend to be high water tables and all this sort of stuff. So if that's a factor, that might have contributed. I also have found in ensuing years that these things never affect just one house or one family. They always spill over and infect an entire area. And so Bill looked into that, and sure enough, other people in the area reported phenomena at about the same time. Nothing as dramatic. And of course, after what was going on, they wouldn't have dared report it. But nevertheless, these things, it was bigger than that one small house. So I think those are all factors, you know, geotechnic, personal, spiritual, you know, psychiatric, that would all contribute and have to come together in just the right way for a poltergeist to occur, because they do not seem to be common. Of course, things could happen that we don't notice. You know, if you put your keys down on the table, you turn around and they're gone. Yeah, it's weird, but you know, by the end of the day, usually you forget about it and say, well, it's one of those things, you know. But it's only when something starts throwing pictures at you or picking you up and throwing you across the room that you start to notice it. So these things could be far more common. And could be just multiversal rather than entities doing it. When you do have these entities involved, I think it becomes much more dramatic.
Spontaneous burns would be a good indication that you...
I'd say you've got a problem, yeah.
Exactly. You better.
But of course, people often say, well, the ghost did it, or the entities were doing all this stuff. Well, I don't know about that. There are many times when something will happen, something will move, or there'll be an obvious teleportation or whatever it may be. And I just haven't felt the presence of any kind of entities, because it's just like when you know somebody, like, you know what to look for, it's very obvious that they're there. And I think very often the intersects themselves will create situations where something will move. When the refrigerator, which weighed about 300 pounds, lifted off the floor, and that happened several times, it might very well have been pass-throughs, brains, B-R-A-N-A-S, again, boundaries passing over from worlds where the laws of physics are not quite the same. I didn't feel any entities in the room when those things occur. Now, I could be wrong, but I think that very often it's just the energies that are involved. If you leave something at the edge of the surf, the tide's going to rise, it's going to fall, and it's not like anybody's deliberately moving an object, but the energy of the surf will just move it, and it's not deliberate, and nobody in particular is doing it, but it's happening. In the same way, I often say, well, if you run down the hallway to answer the door, you're going to stir up air, and you might blow some papers off a desk. You didn't throw them off the desk, but the energies involved did that. So I think that's another possibility, but definitely there, in my opinion, were some entities involved.
Well, I think culture also comes into play here. Now, if this event had happened in, let's say, Riyadh or somewhere in the Middle East, the automatic assumption culturally, I think, there would be that there's a jinn involved. And a fellow New Englander, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, has been on the show a number of times, and I've actually gone out and done some investigating on some cases with her. She's very, very accomplished in the field.
Oh, yeah,
and she's becoming more and more convinced that there's a connection between many of these location-specific events and presences and the whole concept of the jinn. Where do you come down on that? And have you done much pondering of that particular potential connection?
Only with Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who happens to be writing the preface for my next book that I'm writing on my own. But so we've talked about this a lot. And, you know, and that gets back to I always pay attention to who contacts us for any kind of assistance. And very often it is Caucasian suburbanites who are in many different countries, but who have the same cultural background as, say, the Goodens, or at least your general garden variety European American or Australian or whatever, Canadian, and this thing. And I noticed that very few. There are some, very few African Americans or Hispanics will contact us, because they tend to have their own beliefs about this and have their own remedies. So these things may be in America, say, very much more widespread than we realize, but they aren't reported because you have people from cultural backgrounds where they have their own ways of dealing with it. I know I have some Asian neighbors who have said that they, and you know, they're several generations, very, very Americanized, but they still would turn to their own, leaders of their own culture in the cases where these things might occur. So again, it might be much more widespread than we think, but things are just not reported to the usual suspects, such as Rosemary Ellen Guiley or myself and Ben. And the jinn, of course, that's a term from the Arab world. It's very, we do have Muslim people who write to us, though, and say, boy, you know, you really hit it on the head when it came to the jinn, or even the multiverse thing it rings a bell with us because the Quran talks about, always uses the term world in the plural. Talks about worlds, so this sort of thing. So there are some universal concepts that I think the multiverse idea is bringing us to. But still, as of this point, I think there are cultural differences in how people deal with it.
And I agree. It's interesting to me, though, that when you start looking at more location-specific phenomena or events that seem to be centered around particular locations, whether they ever flow, whether it's just an outbreak in the case of the Bridgeport case, for instance, or whether it's something that tends to reoccur over the years, there seems to be some sort of geospecific attraction, I think. There's some sort of magnet sort of sense about a particular location that tends to have reoccurring reports. As far as the cultural thing, having been in Southern Colorado for quite a number of years, 13 years, and doing investigations among a predominantly Hispanic population, that's a point well taken. They do have their own ways of dealing with things, and there are certain, you know, cultural remedies, if you will. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not going to exhaust all efforts to get to the bottom of something if a particular cultural approach doesn't work. I would tend to be the one to get the call. And it was very fascinating to me to find out how different cultures do have a particular set of beliefs around unexplained phenomena. And in the case of the Hispano culture in northern New Mexico, for instance, a lot of it is occult based, and they their beliefs tend to center around black adepts, sorcerers, witches, brujas, brujos,
sure.
That sort of scenario as a causal element.
We have Paulino talking shop and paranormal subjects with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. Unseen Now's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yeah, Paul Eno joining Gene and Chris on the Paracast this week. This is our last show for 2014. And Chris was engaging in a long description, explanation there that Paul wants to respond to or add to.
Yes, on the issue of the cultural aspects of how to deal with these things or how people approach them. Yeah, there is an occult aspect, Chris, as you stated, with this, particularly with people who are descended from indigenous cultures. And that could be good, that could be bad. On the other hand, with Latinos, I often find that they are Roman Catholic in background, and in the old days, people would call us in from that particular culture because we shared a religion, okay? And the approach in that sense was the same. But there is indeed, as you say, the Bruja approach. And we have a lot of listeners in Mexico for some reason. They will report to us on many of the sightings that occur of these alleged witches and things flying through the air in this business, and the UFOs and the things happening in their houses and all this. So there is a certain, as I say, a certain universal aspect. One thing I didn't touch on is involvement in the occult as a factor in particularly poltergeists or negative outbreaks. One of the funny things, not to dwell on the Bridgeport case, but one of the urban legends that arose from that was that Marcy was involved in the occult and had an occult book that she carried around. Well, that was interesting because that book belonged to me. I left it in the living room, and it had a funny-looking cross on the front because it was an Eastern Orthodox book, and the Russian crosses have the three bars, not just the one, right? And it can look odd and foreign and everything else. And inside, half the every other page was English, and every other page was in the Cyrillic alphabet in Church Slavonic.
Boy, it's the wrong set of eyes. That could be awful scary looking.
Some reporter or police officer picked it up and said, aha, this is Sanskrit. And it was some kind of weird Indian. And this got carried down the decades. And I only that only dawned on me when I was doing the interview with Bill Hall, and he said, what about the book? And I actually still have the book, and I showed it to him, and there's a picture of the book in the book, right? So this is how this stuff can go on. Again, the use of the occult can be a serious problem. Ouija boards and seances, and people will sometimes write to the show and say, oh, what's the matter with these things? And so what's wrong with them is that you're punching holes in the brains, in the fabric of space-time, and you know, with a sledgehammer, rather than letting things happen naturally. And there's the other level of believing everything you're told. I couldn't get over, and still can't, some of the psychics and mediums who you will use these methods or will talk to something and believe everything they're told. I mean, I don't believe half the people I meet on the street, never mind something that comes through.
Well, you'd have a hard time in Sedona, my friend.
Oh, I've been there. Yeah, it's the only place I've ever been where every conversation leads to the paranormal somehow. Yeah, I gave a talk one time at the Well-Read Coyote, the bookstore, some years ago. But in any case, when there's a cult involvement, particularly by you often have young people, speaking of the relationship between parents and children, young people who are bitter or have not been or even have been abused or are seeking some sort of refuge, and they'll find it in the occult because it makes them think they have power. You know, I may have failed at this or that, or my parents might hate me, but, you know, hey, but I have this cosmic being paying attention to me who says he's going to guide me and do all this stuff. But talk about dangerous. That can be a major factor in ringing the dinner bell for what we refer to as parasites. So that's just a factor I wanted to mention.
You know, the parasite question just strikes interest in me. So if we get in touch with some kind of being that claims to be a higher being, that claims to have our best interests at the heart of the situation, should we run in the other direction? That implies that we should.
Generally, I would say yes. Because everything is out there in these parallel worlds. And as I say, you know, the idea from quantum physics is that every possibility, every probability actually exists in concrete reality in one form or another, somewhere or some when in the multiverse. And many of them are aware of other worlds, and they will pray. That's what their food source is. So that is a distinct possibility. When something says is pushing your buttons and says it's going to help you, I think it is a good idea to run the other way. On the other hand, there are many, I suppose you could call them guardians, or I suppose like us working at volunteering at a soup kitchen, you know, that kind of thing. There is charitable feeling among many positive beings out in the multiverse here, kind of all around us. And that is, I think, a sober, concrete reality. Whenever that kind of contact occurs, I always find it to be very quiet and unassuming and very, very, very much not, I'm here to help you kind of thing.
Well, how does one know if you receive this kind of contact, whether you expected it, whether you believe it, whether it comes out of the blue? Is there any way for you to look at this and say, well, maybe I should trust this person? It may be that they look perfectly normal.
Yeah. It's always best, I think, if possible, to ignore it. But barring that, I think that if wishful thinking gets in the way, that's where the danger is. You know, as I say, the idea that, hey, I'm being paid attention to by something, by some super being here. Or if you feel in any way at all uncomfortable. And this is where it's good to be a person who's involved maybe with knowing how to be silent, knowing how to be quiet, meditation perhaps in a positive sense. And then you can sort of tell what your own feelings are. If you feel any discomfort whatsoever and you feel anything other than love and sobriety and silence and goodness, I would say that's a danger sign. You know, when you don't feel just those things, when you feel any sort of discomfort whatsoever. Sometimes I'll meet some of these psychics and mediums and shake their hand, and it's just, you know, I'm the kind of person who wants to like other people. Ben balances me out that way because he is the best, sharpest judge of character I've ever known. I'll say, Dad, there's something wrong with this guy. And I'll say, yeah, you know, you're right. When I shook his hand or her hand, I felt something a little bit strange, you know. So any kind of hint of something wrong or discomfort or anything like that, I'd say that's a good sign that it's a bad sign, so to speak, that it's not a good connection.
Good sign that it's a bad sign?
So to
speak. I like that.
Yeah. manner of speaking. Yeah. You know, people always come to me and say, well, okay, will you communicate with these entities that you say, you know, you're remaining silent, and like the guy in the hallway there at the mental hospital. And I said, well, yeah, I could be wrong. But, I mean, I think, you know, after, you know, 45 years almost of doing this, I like to think I kind of know what to look for. Now, again, I could be wrong about this, and I could be a fool maybe for even trying to do this. But man, I'll try. When it happens, I open myself up to it if I believe that there's nothing strange, you know, nothing wrong with the thing, and that it's what it appears to be. And that's the trouble with the paranormal is very little is ever what it actually appears to be.
Okay, so that takes us to UFOs.
Right.
Naturally. Okay, so when we see a silvery disk in the sky making incredible pinpoint maneuvers, are we seeing what's there?
Well, perhaps and perhaps not. Again, nothing is what it appears to be, really. We assume that we're dealing with nuts and bolts craft. Now, we're very good friends with Stan Friedman, who's actually writing the preface for the book Ben and I are working on. And he and I have had a lot of talks, and he's very much a nuts and bolts guy. He's probably the grandfather of UFO research, and certainly globally, probably.
Well, at least among the people who are still alive, yes.
Yes. But I say, well, I think we need to consider, too, that it's not just nuts and bolts, that it may not be what it appears to be. There may be more to it. Now, one of the interesting folks to talk to, and if you haven't had him on your show, you might want to, is Ted Phillips from Missouri. And Ted is the fellow who for, oh, my gosh, got to be going on 50 years, has gathered tremendous amounts of evidence, more than anyone else I know, of actual physical landings by UFOs.
He's been on the show several times.
Oh, great. Yeah, so you know Ted. If you ask him, he will tell you, well, the nature of UFOs seems to have been changing over the last 20 years. There is less and less of the nuts and bolts craft with legs landing and this sort of thing and little guys jumping out, and more of the light ball phenomenon, as he calls it. We might say the orb phenomenon, that sort of thing.
More ephemeral.
Ephemeral, more ephemeral, less material, so to speak. And he suggests, well, one explanation might be that there, wherever they are, their technology may have changed, okay, somewhat, maybe is improved. I suppose that's possible. On the other hand, maybe we're just noticing more phenomena because everybody's got videos and cameras and stuff than we used to. One of the things I've noticed over the past 40-odd years is, you know, when I started out, well, you know, we didn't have EMF meters, electromagnetic field meters, and all these gadgets that people, because, you know, we live in a society that's drunk with technology, so we rely on that unquestioningly. But in my day, we started out, we're lucky if we had the little cassette tape recorders and ordinary cameras with film, and that's what we would use. And I didn't find orbs in the way they have emerged in the digital age, and I looked into it, and there are issues with film emulsion and this kind of thing, and the digital cameras, you know, interpreting things that they encounter that people might think that they're orbs and ghosts and all this. That thing aside, there were light phenomena of these light ball kind of things.
Let's discuss the light ball kind of things in our next segment with Paul Eno and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN. Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNlive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNlive.com. GCN.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.